The following episode originally aired in 2003.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is singer-actress Dee Dee Bridgewater. She's a brilliant performer, believe me. How are you, Dee Dee?
Well, I'm thrilled to be sitting here looking at your delicious face and those mischievous eyes.
We've been talking about doing this for so long.
I know.
But due to the fact that you travel more than anybody I know, like worldwide, and lived in Paris, right?
Yeah, I lived in Paris for close to 17 years. Still have my home there. And now I'm in, of all places, Henderson, Nevada, which is, of course, next door to Las Vegas, or as I love to call it, Lost Wages.
Well, how does that stack up after Paris?
You know, it's surreal, and it's not to be compared with any place else. So I think once you get used to that and accept the idea that you are in this stranger than stranger of places, it's okay. There is a wonderful community now. There is a lot of culture now. There's a lot of theater. It's very exciting, actually, to be in a city that's growing constantly. I mean, they're constantly having to build roads and build schools and build hospitals and, you know, build the facilities to accommodate.
I hope they're going to leave a little countryside for horseback riding and things like that.
Oh, they've still got that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's very good.
Meanwhile, you're going to sit here and sing your heart out.
Well, I don't know. I might sing my lungs out, my brains out, but I don't know. My heart might stay there, no. Listen, I'm so excited to be here with you because, I mean, you have the only show where we can do this.
I know. I'm thrilled about it myself. You can sit and talk to somebody
and then
catch up, and then you can do a little singing and playing, and it's all good fun.
And it's wonderful, and it's all impromptu, and I don't know if the listeners know that it's not rehearsed, but I think that's amazing, and that is the beauty of this music. And
we rehearsed.
We set our levels. We talked very vaguely about what we're going to do here. But
well, vague is good because it usually turns out to be what we wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's have a go.
Okay.
At a song.
What do you want to do?
We do?
Well, you know, I thought just to kind of get warmed up, I thought something from Duke Ellington would be nice.
Well, you can't go wrong with Duke.
No, never. And one of my favorite, I think this is my favorite Duke Ellington song, and it's called Beginning to See the Light.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
And it swings.
It swings.
So
let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
I never cared much for moonlit skies, never winked back at fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow, candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I see the light. Well, I used to ramble through the park, shadowboxing in the dark. Then you came and you caused a spark. That's a four alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine, never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, baby, I see the light.
Now, I read somewhere where you went to the Soviet Union with the University of Illinois band, mm-hmm. and that must have been maybe one of your first gigs, wasn't it?
And that was my first time going outside of the United States, and I was petrified.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had such, I would say, stereotypical ideas about what Russia was about, and it was still communist at the time, and I mean, it was just horror stories, you know? And also in 1968, that was the year of all of the student uprising, you know, across the United States and Europe. And, you know, We were, you know, burning books, and, you know, and it was also at the same time that we women decided to burn our bras. So it was all of this kind of liberation that was going on. And so when we got to Russia, what happened is there was, they were so, they too had stereotypes of what was going to happen. So we were followed everywhere. I mean, they had individual KGB people that followed each and every one of us when we would go out of the hotels.
But you loved the, I mean, they loved you performing, didn't they?
The performing, the people went crazy. And I still today meet people who were, you know, young at that time. And they come and they go, oh, my goodness, I saw you, you know, in Russia in 68. And then, of course, when I went back in 72 with Thad and Mel, and I was pregnant.
Weren't you, let's see, you're from Michigan.
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, Flint.
And I'm wondering how you wound up in Chicago or the University of Illinois band from Champaign, Illinois.
Well, right? What happened was I was performing during my 1 year at Michigan State University with a man named Andy Goodrich, a saxophonist, and he had a quintet. And he decided to enter us in some collegiate competitions. And one of them was at Notre Dame. And John Garvey was one of the judges. And I was just like a tag along. They didn't even have vocal categories at these competitions that we were going to. And he liked my voice so much, he came up to me and asked me, would I like to come and sing with the University of Illinois Jazz Band? And, of course, I said yes, you know. And I had to join the school in order to go. So I took all of these, as we used to say, bogus classes. I mean, you know, the easiest things I could find, just so that I could get credits and I could then do this State Department tour. And that's how I got to Russia with the University of Illinois. And that's how I met Cecil Bridgewater.
Yeah, because I was going to say you just must have married him. When? Before Thad and Mel? Well, he was
just before Thad and Mel.
Because he was in the band, was he not?
Yeah, well, we went to New York, you know, so that he could perform with Thad and Mel. And also Horace Silver.
I'm trying to think where I met you. Was that it? When you were married to Cecil Bridgewater?
That must have been it, Marion. That must have been it. I mean, it was that whole time that I was living in New York and working. Well, I started with Thad and Mel in 1970. You know, Marion, for me, that was my schooling. That was where I learned everything that I know about jazz, and I still apply what I've learned to today.
It's wonderful.
It is.
Meanwhile, you have to sing another song.
I really?
Yes, and then we'll talk some more.
Well, all right. Well, now let's, you know, in thinking about doing this show with you, and I don't know why, but this tune popped into my mind, and I thought, God, this would be good to do with Marion. Embraceable You. Is that okay?
It's a great tune.
It's a fabulous tune. But now that I've said it, I wonder if I know all the lyrics. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Okay.
Embrace me, my sweet, embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just one look at you, my heart goes tipsy in me. You and you alone bring out the gypsy in me.
You have so much experience in so many fields, like you've been on Broadway, you've won awards for stage shows in England, all over the place. You know it all, not just singing, just acting.
Well, you know,
the whole nine yards.
I think the thing, Mary, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think also you learn a lot from just experiences. And I've been very fortunate to be in all kinds of varied experiences. I have done opera. I have worked with the biggest of divas, you know. I mean, and I did pop music. I did soul music, you know. I've been asked to do, you know, vocals on rappers' albums.
I was just going to ask you.
You know what I mean?
Not bad.
And I'm open to all music. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a phrase that I put on my latest CD, which is about the music of Kurt Vile. And he said, there's no such thing as serious music or light music. There's only good music and bad music.
That's what Duke said too, didn't he?
You know, I mean, and that's how I feel. You can do whatever it is you do, as long as it's good. If you do it and it's done with conviction, I can go for it. I really can.
Yes. You know, I read somewhere, Dee Dee, that your father was a trumpet teacher?
Yes, and player.
Taught all kinds of terrific people?
Yes.
Well, what was his name?
Matthew Garrett. And he taught musicians such as Harold Mayburn, Frank Strozier, Booker Little.
He must have been
Phineas
a hell of a player.
Newborn.
My goodness.
These were all his students. They were all
Is
his
he
students.
Still doing that?
He doesn't teach music anymore, and he put down the trumpet. And now he's retired, and he loves playing golf, as many retired people do.
What can we dedicate to him?
Oh, to my daddy? Oh, let's dedicate September Song, because the days dwindle down to a precious few.
I love that song. Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September, when the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame. One hasn't got time for the maiden game.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.